We're going to be preaching out of the 2 Kings chapter 3. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, 2 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to break into the story, and then I'm going to preach around what we read, because there is a lot of reading here, and I want to get to the meat of what the Holy Spirit's laid on my heart. Verse 13, 2 Kings chapter 3. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, that's Jehoram, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of the Moabite, or in the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel or a song. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see the wind, neither shall you see the rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing. This is light duty for the Lord. In the sight of the Lord, he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. I want to draw your attention to verse 16. This is 2 Kings 3:16. That's easy to remember. Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. I want to use for a subject tonight, make your valley full of ditches. You may be seated. The story is incredible. Ahab the king has died. Jezebel also has died. No affection lost there. Ahab and Jezebel were wicked. And then you have a king by the name of Jehoram, who is the son of Ahab. Jehoram was a very wicked king, not as bad as his father Ahab, but still the less very wicked. And there was a king by the name of Mesha, and he was the king of Moab. The Bible says in verse 4 that he was a sheep master. That doesn't mean he was a sheep herder. Doesn't mean that he was a shepherd. Means that he was a sheep master. Meaning that he had hundreds of thousands of sheep and rams. He was one who gave his whole kingdom, his whole country to raising sheep and rams. Ahab had conquered him in battle. And many times they would let the king remain king, and they would let the king remain in power when they would conquer a kingdom. But they would make that kingdom pay tribute to the one that conquered them. Israel had conquered Moab, and the tribute was 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams and the wool with it. And that is every year. That's a lot of money and a lot of sheep and a lot of rams. Well, when Ahab died, the king of Moab, Mesha, said, I'm not going to fulfill that anymore. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not going to pay tribute to Israel any longer. Well, Jehoram decided that he would go to war against Moab, and he would make this king Mesha pay for his rebellion toward Israel. And so Jehoram goes to Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoram is the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Jehoshaphat is a good king. Jehoram is a wicked, evil king. And so even though Jehoram had did away with his father's practice of worshiping Baal, he still followed in the avenue of idolatry worship, false gods, the gods of fertility. You can just figure out what that was. And he was a very vile king, Jehoram was. And he goes to Jehoshaphat and says, I want to go to battle against the king of Moab. They have refused to pay tribute, and I want to go, and I'd like for you to go with me. Well, Jehoshaphat made a horrible mistake. He agreed to make alliance with this king of Israel, who was like a pagan, and he joined with him in battle. In fact, Jehoshaphat said, "My horses are yours, my men are yours, your brother, we'll go fight." Now, Jehoram knew that Jehoshaphat was really good at battle. He knew that Jehoshaphat was really wise and he could figure out which way to go about the battle. And so Jehoshaphat says, "Let's don't go straight in the front door. Let's go around the Dead Sea. Let's go in the back way let's go by the wilderness of Edom. And let's go in to the backside and let's conquer them from the backside. Let's conquer them where they're not prepared." And so they, not only did Jehoram get the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, to join with him, as they go around to go through the Edomite country, which is wilderness, desert, they gather the king of Edom. Now, it doesn't give the name of this king, just king of Edom. And he too joined with Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, and they begin to make their journey to go fight the Moabites. As they're traveling, 7 days they travel into this wilderness of Edom. And they discovered, whoa, we didn't bring enough water. We are in trouble because there's no water. There's no pools, there's no river, there's no water here. Jehoram says, "Well, it's God's fault. God brought us out here to kill us." Let me tell you, friends, it's sad, but there's a lot of people that don't live for God like Jehoram. They don't serve God, but something goes wrong, it's God's fault. If something goes haywire, it's always God's fault. Jehoram said, "Well, it's God's fault. He brought these three kings out here to be killed by the Moabites. We're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die." Ungodly pagan Eeyore. And so he says, "It's God's fault." Well, Jehoshaphat, being the king that he was, who feared God and had an encounter with God several times, says to Jehoram, "Is there not a prophet that we can consult with?" And Jehoshaphat, when they finally came across one of the captains of Jehoram, said, "Yes, there's someone here by the name of Elisha. He's the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat says, "I've heard of him. He's an incredible prophet. He speaks the word of the Lord." And so they go down, all three kings go down, king of Edom, Jehoram, and Jehoshaphat, and they go find Elisha. Now my question is, why was Elisha there? Why did he go? Well, I think God told him to. Always remember, when God tells you to go somewhere, there's a reason. When God directs you to go somewhere, there's a reason. So I believe no doubt God told Elisha, "You go with him." Elisha probably said, "This ain't going to turn out good. Jehoram is a wicked king, and the king of Edom, he's the descendants of Esau. This is not going to turn out well." And so Elisha's there, he's following along, he's kind of quiet and back in the crowd. And Jehoshaphat says, "Well, we need to hear from the Lord. We need to hear from what God has to say." Because here they are in the wilderness of Edom. There's no water. They're in trouble. And for 7 days they are in dire need of water and in dire need of strength. And they know that they can't win a battle. They know that they can't win this war in the position they're in. They're down in a deep valley, and the valley is a gorge, and the valley is it's no water. It's a dry riverbed. It's a dry valley. There's nothing there. It's dusty. It's dirty. And so Jehoshaphat says to them, is there not a prophet? And they said, yes, there is a prophet. And the three kings go down to see Elisha. Well, Elisha, and this will be my first point of the message, Elisha was not happy at all with Jehoram. In fact, we read just a moment ago that it says that when they went down to see Elisha in verse 13, when they finally found Elisha, Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look toward thee, nor see thee. He says, Jehoram, you make me sick. I wouldn't even look at you. You're vile, you're wicked. That's my translation, but by the way. But Elisha says, you know, I'm very put out with you. You make me angry. And he said, the only reason that I'm here and the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because of Jehoshaphat. I like Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's a good king. I like Jehoshaphat. You can go jump in the, you know what. I'm not interested in you. I wouldn't even look at you. But because of Jehoshaphat, I will help you out. Second point. Play me a song. He was in a bad attitude. I mean, Elisha was not, Elisha's attitude was bad. And how many ever came to church with an attitude bad? Anybody ever done that? I wish I could tell you that I've always went to the pulpit with a good attitude. Sometimes I went to the pulpit with a bad attitude. And it's only the grace of God that I hadn't been more corrupt, more evil, more mean than I've been in the past. Sometimes I go to the pulpit with a bad attitude. Well, Elisha had a bad attitude. He was angry. And he says, bring me a song. Verse 15, bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass that when they played the song, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Now, I want you to understand something. Music is incredibly powerful. Music is incredibly powerful. Music can be incredibly powerful for wickedness if it's the wrong music. And music can be incredibly powerful for goodness, holiness, and purity if it's the right music. And Elisha says, okay, I need someone to worship with me. Basically what he was saying, I need someone to worship with me. Now, Elisha wasn't saying, I need someone to come down here, I need to have a concert, I need a music concert. That wasn't what Elisha was saying. Elisha was not saying, I need someone to come down here and sing to me. I need someone to come down here and I need a show. I need someone to come here and I want to hear someone sing pretty. I want to hear someone sing powerfully. I want to be entertained. That's not what Elisha was saying. Elisha was saying, bring someone here that will strike the chords of my heart and give me the rhythm of God's presence in my life. Bring someone here so that we can worship. Worship together. Listen to me. Worship. Worship. Now, when you worship, and that's why on Sunday morning a lot of times we have worship, we just worship and then go into God's Word, and there's a reason for that. It is to hear from God. We don't always hear from God. You know, through the week, there's a lot of clamor, a lot of noise, and we need to hear from God. And Elisha, he's listening to music, he's worshiping God, and the Spirit of God comes upon Elisha. When the Spirit of God comes upon Elisha, there's some things you need to understand. As he's worshiping, the answer comes for the people of God. As he worships, God gives the answer. As he worships, God speaks, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." That is a strange command. These soldiers were wore out, they were tired, they were thirsty, they needed water, it was dusty, it was hot, it was horrific, and then this prophet says, get out there and get to digging in the dirty valley and dig ditches. And they couldn't complain because the three kings would chop their heads off, put them to death. But I want you to understand something. I don't know whether Alan has the point where worship, you want to pull that up on the screen, the second point on worship. I don't want you to miss it because it's important. Let's have some worship, Elisha says. And worship produces many times some unpleasant duties for the child of God. Worship produces sometimes things that we're not really ready to do. But when you worship God, he makes us ready. He makes us ready. We hear from God, he makes us ready. Now Elisha says, I want to hear some music. And Elisha hears the music and he hears from the Lord. And the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Now what's going to happen, and we're going to come back to the last part of the message in just a minute, because I really want to point something out that's very important. In fact, it's all important in this message. That when they begin to dig the ditches, Elisha says, you won't see the wind. You won't see, hear, or smell the rain. You won't hear the thunder and the lightning. All there'll be is dusty silence. And there's going to be a time of testing and a quietness. And as you dig those ditches, they were to dig those ditches not long ways of the valley, but crossways of the valley. Because God's going to send a flash flood. How many in this room would like to have a flash answer from God? A flash flood. And Elisha says, the Lord's going to send water. And he's going to send water, and the water's going to come off the mountain, a flash flood of water, and it's going to fill those ditches, those pools, those ditches are going to be filled with water. And the next morning, after they dug the ditches, and maybe some of them dug little pools, some of them dug little ditches, but they made the valley full of ditches. And that's hard work. How many agree it's hard work? Amen, you little ditch digger, you keep digging. And you dig those ditches, and now God sends water in the night, and it starts bubbling and flowing down through the valley. And those ditches that were dug is capturing that water, and the next morning there are pools of water, ditches of water, pools of water everywhere. And Elisha says, you're going to have water to drink. You're going to have water for your cattle, water for everyone. And not only, and he said, that's light duty for the Lord. That's nothing for the Lord. He's going to send the water, and it's going to come, and it's going to come down out of the mountains, and it's going to flow through there. And that's just a little light thing for the Lord. But I'm also going to give you the Moabites. And so the next morning, the Moabites get up, and they look down into the valley. And the Moabites knew that there was three kings. They knew that Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom, unnamed, he knew that kings don't always get along. The king of Moab knew that. Misha knew that. And he knew that there was a good chance that there was some hostility between Jehoram and Jehoshaphat. There would be absolutely some hostility against the descendants of Esau, which was Edomites. And so when they got up and looked, God made the sunrise shine across the water, and it was like a mirage. And it looked like the whole valley was full and covered with blood. And the armies of the Moabites said, They've got in a fight. They've killed each other. They have literally had it out in the night, and they have killed each other, and it says Moab to the spoil. And they come charging in. And when they come charging in, Israel was ready for them. Judah was ready for them. Edom was ready for them, and smote them and chased them out of the territory, even to the point destroyed cities and the boundaries of the Moabites and destroyed it all. To the point that the Moabite king, Misha, offered his youngest son to a false god just so that he could win the battle against Edom, the Edom king. It failed. Let me tell you, friends, anytime you're fighting against God, you're going to fail. But I want to point out something tonight, and this is going to be a pretty short message, but we as a church need to learn the importance of worship and hearing from the Lord. We need to learn the importance of not just coming together and singing, not just coming together and learning and shaking hands and fellowshipping. We need to learn the importance of hearing from God. I'm glad that we hear from each other. I'm glad that we shake hands with each other, hug each other's necks. I'm glad that we come together and hear the word of the Lord. But the most important part of any church service is to hear from the Lord of hosts, to hear from the Lord. Amen? And Elisha says, this is how we're going to hear from the Lord. Bring me a song. Now, he wasn't saying, bring me a song, someone to sing me a special, or give me a concert, or entertain me. He was saying, bring me someone that will play and we can worship the Lord together. And as they worship the Lord together, God speaks. And sometimes worshiping God will demand a hard job on our behalf. Sometimes worshiping God will come across with some very hard. How many would agree making the valley full of ditches is a hard job? Amen? It's a very hard job. But when you worship the Lord, I mean really worship the Lord, God is sometimes going to ask things of you that's not pleasant at times. When you really worship the God of heaven, and you worship God, it isn't all smiles, giggles, and woohoo. When you really worship the Lord God, it many times the Lord will say, I've got a job for you to do. It's going to be hard. There's going to be nights of silence. There's going to be spiritual blisters on your hands. There's going to be times that you won't hear and you won't sense the presence of God. There's going to be times when you won't. But here's the thing. When you worship God, you hear from God. And when you hear from God, God makes you strong. And so when you hear from God and it makes you strong, then you can make it through the hard valleys of life. You can make it through the hard times of life. God gives us strength. Amen. One place Elijah went in the spirit of the food the angel fed him, and went in the might of the energy of that food that the angel fed Elijah. And I want you to know, many of us in this room need to get some things from the Lord that take us through. We may not, you know, we may have a hard 2 weeks. We may have a hard 3 weeks. We may have a hard month. We may even have a hard year. I said almost hard ear. Some of you got plenty of ears. It's hard. But anyway, but understand this. The worship is what gives us strength. And the worship is what gives us answers. Worship is what gives us what God wants us to do. And don't underestimate the power of a church coming together. And we say, let's all stand and let's worship the Lord. And we all sing together. It's one thing for me to sing to you. It's another thing for all of us to sing together in unison to Him. It's one thing for somebody to sing to you or someone to sing to me. But it's altogether majestic when we sing to Him as a group of people. We sing to Him. That's called worship. The other's called entertainment, but that's called worship. When we sing together and worship the Lord. Let me show you something that's really interesting. Go with me to Psalm 22 and verse 3. We're going to look at verse 1, Psalm 22, verse 1 through 3. But notice Elisha says, bring me a song. I want somebody to worship with me. And I want you to make this valley, he hears from the Lord, and the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches. Prepare for the blessings of the Lord. Listen, I may have a dusty hole in my life, but one day God's going to fill it up with water. Amen. I may have some things going in my life that looks barren, but one day God's going to fill it up and fill it up with blessings. Amen. This Psalm 22 is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is actually the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament version. Jesus Christ is the temple of God. Now notice, on the cross, Jesus Christ says, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Thou art holy that inhabits the praises of Israel. He says, God, you are holy that inhabits the praises of Israel. So Jesus Christ is going to bring the praise out of the old temple and bring it to the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ is going to bring the praise and the singing and the worship from the old economy, Jewish economy, from the sacrificing of lambs and the bullocks. He's going to bring the music. In fact, he's going to bring the music. They didn't have much music back then except in the Old Testament going to battle. And Jesus Christ is going to bring the song. And he's going to bring the song to the cross. He's going to bring the worship and the singing to the cross. Hear me. At the cross, it's there I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm rejoicing. I'm happy all the day. Songs about the cross, songs about the blood of Jesus Christ, songs about the goodness of God, songs about the mercy of the Lord, songs about the majestic deliverance of the Son of God, songs about the resurrected Christ, songs about the goodness of God, songs about the deliverance of God, and it's all about worship. Now, let me point out something to you that will, hang on to your shoes. This is going to blow your shoes off. This is good stuff. Notice it says, God, verse 3, you that inhabit the praise of Israel, but thou art holy. Now, let's understand, when we worship the Lord, we worship around the cross of Calvary. When we worship the Lord, we worship around the blood of the Lamb. When we worship the Lord, in fact, they're going to do that in Revelation chapter 5. All through the book of Revelation, they're going to worship around the blood of the Lamb, around the Lamb of God. And worship is going to be composed of worshiping what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It was silent. What was Jesus Christ doing? He was digging a ditch for you and I. What was Jesus Christ doing? He was making the valley of death full of ditches. What was Jesus Christ doing on the cross of Calvary? He was making your valley full of ditches. And so we need to go to where Jesus Christ made our valley, making it full of ditches, and we need to worship the Lord, because God's going to send by the way of the mountain the waters of life, and God's going to flow into our valley the waters of life, and God's going to give us victory over our enemies. I got this today, or actually a couple of days ago, and I thought, whoo, that is so good. My God, I cry in the daytime, thou hearest me not. In the night season, I am not silent. Verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, I wanted to see why Elisha said, bring me a song. And so I understand that Elisha's trying to say, you don't need my word, you need the word of the Lord. Elisha's trying to say, you're in a mess. You're in a valley that's dry, and you're about to be conquered by the Moabite armies. And you have an alliance with someone you shouldn't be with, Jehoshaphat and Jehoram, and the king of Esau, actually Edomite. And that was an alliance that should not have been. And I mean, know that when that happens, God has to do the sorting and the fixing. And Elisha prays, and when he prays, he says, bring me. In fact, it don't even say Elisha prayed. He just said, bring me a song. Bring me a song. You say, well, don't you think Elisha prayed? Of course he prayed. He prayed before he got there. In fact, he prayed when he went with the idiots. No doubt in my mind, he was saying to the Lord, do I have to go? And the Lord says, yeah, you got to go. You go with him, they're going to be in trouble. You think Elisha was surprised when the three kings come and said, we need to hear from the Lord. Elisha knew that. Why do you think he went with them? Elisha knew that. And Elisha couldn't pass up telling Jehoram, I don't like you. I don't even want to look at you. If it were not for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even help you. Now I'm so frustrated, bring me a song. And do you know church is for frustrated people? Sunday morning's for frustrated people. Yeah, anybody ever come to church frustrated? Anybody? Hello, anybody? Yeah, anybody come to church saying, well, you know, I don't want to be here, but I'm here because I feel like the Lord wants me here. Well, that's kind of how Elisha was. He didn't want to be there, but he said, I'm here because the Lord wants me here. And so he says, I'm going to do what's next best thing. I'm going to do the best thing, sing me a song. Bring me a minstrel, bring me someone to play music, and sing me a song. Don't give me a concert, don't give me a talent show, don't try to impress me with vocals and impress me with a concert. Just come here, play your music, worship with me, and as we worship God, as we worship Jesus Christ, and of course Elisha didn't know him as Jesus, but as we worship Yahweh, as we worship Yah, Jehovah, God is going to come and give us an answer. And I want you to know, we as a church need to learn the beautiful beauty of worshiping God in the spirit of holiness, coming together not just to sing or preach or to testify or to have activities in church, but we need to come as a body of Christ with our hands lifted up like a 2-year-old child that's been hurt, like a young baby that needs fed. We need to raise our hands to Jesus Christ and say, God, I need you, and I love you, and I adore you, and I want to focus on the cross of Calvary. Bring our music to the cross. Bring worship to the cross. Bring praise and victory to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Bring it, because God inhabits the praises of his people. Now you ready to shout? I mean, ready to shout. The word inhabitus. Thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. You can look it up yourself in a good strong concordance. The word inhabitest means, Lord, pull yourself up a chair, sit down. Basically what it means. Lord, have a seat. God, pull yourself up a seat, sit with us, got you the best seat in the house. Jesus, come on, sit here with us, the best seat in the house. Put yourself up a seat, be with us, help us, guide us, direct us, and we want to worship you, and we want to make you the guest of honor. We want to honor you and praise you. And that word inhabit means to sit down, to settle in, and tarry. And so when we worship the Lord, we are asking him to have a seat. to have the best seat in the house. We're asking him to join us. To join us. And so when we come to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning and Josh leads in worship, or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and we're worshiping the Lord, we need to, as we worship the Lord, you know what we're saying? God inhabits the praises of his people. What we're saying is, Lord, join us. Join us. We're saying, Lord, put yourself up a seat and have a throne. Come here and sit on your throne with us. Just come here and have yourself a seat. We got you the best seat in the house. We're going to worship you because God inhabits the praises of his people. And so Elisha was saying in so many words, bring me a song because we're going to worship the Lord and we're going to offer Jehovah a seat beside us. And Jehovah came. And Jehovah gave Elisha the answer. And the answer was, make this valley full of ditches. It wasn't what they were expecting. How many would agree that wasn't what they were expecting? I guarantee you that wasn't what they wanted to do. Dig a ditch? Get out there, we're wore out, we're thirsty, we're about to die of thirst already, and you're wanting me to go out there and dig a ditch? You wanting me to dig a pool where there's no water? You want me to go out there and dig around, get dirty and get exhausted? I'm already wore out. And you want us to go out there and dig in a valley? Yeah, thus said the Lord, make the valley full of ditches. Because God has promised to fill those ditches full of water. And God has promised to give you the Moabites. You will win the battle. So what do you do when things is dusty? What do you do when you're in a valley and you can't seem like you can't hear from the Lord? What do you do when you look like you're about to get in trouble? What do you do when you don't know where to turn and you haven't heard from the Lord? Well, you start by worshiping the Lord. And when you worship the Lord, you're saying, Lord, sit with us. Come with us. Be with us. And then the Lord will speak to you and say, don't give up. Keep digging. Don't give up. Keep digging. Keep working. Because the Lord will not fail you. You say, well, he failed me today. No, he's never failed anybody. But too many people got the spirit of Jehoram. Jehoram said, yep, God's after us. God don't like us. God's going to destroy us. Yep, it's God's fault. Well, let me answer real quickly. Whose idea was it to go fight Misha, the king of Moab? Jehoram's. Whose idea was it to go to Jehoshaphat, ask him to go with him? Jehoram's. Whose idea was it to go the back way, and of course, Jehoshaphat encouraged that, but to go by the way of the Edomites to the wilderness? Jehoram. And when they got out there and there was no water 7 days and there was nothing to drink and they were in trouble, who said, yep, God's sending us out here to die? Who was that? Jehoram. So Jehoram wanted to blame God for everything that went wrong in his life. Why? Because he was a pagan, idolatrous worshiper. That's why. And Jehoshaphat says, whoa, put on the brakes here. We're not done until God says it's done. Hold on. Is there not a prophet among us? Of course there was. God told Elisha long before, you go with him. And they said, yep, there's one among us. His name is Elisha. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat, whoo, I know that guy. He hears from the Lord. And so Elisha comes and says, Jehoram, I wouldn't even look at you. You disgust me. I'm only here because of Jehoshaphat. He said, I'm so peeved and upset. Bring me a song. We're not going anywhere till we invite the Lord to pull up a chair. We're not going anywhere until we invite God to get involved in this battle. We're not going anywhere until we invite God to get involved in this travel. We're not going to go anywhere until we ask God to get involved in this battle. I want you to understand that the most important thing, if you're going through a trial in your life, the most important thing is to hear from God. And you can't hear from God if you don't invite Him to pull up a chair. And that's why music is so powerful. That's why music is so powerful. And I'm not talking about music like they have in Branson. I'm not talking about music like they have in some of the churches that are no more than just a show, no more than just a program, a theater type setting. I'm talking about God's people getting together. Say, Lord, our country's such a mess. Lord, our leadership has forsaken you. But Lord, I know that you died on the cross of Calvary for me and for our land. And Lord, I know that you care about my children and care about my grandchildren. I know that you care about our land and our families because, Jesus, you died on the cross of Calvary. I know you rose again from the grave. I know you're alive. You live, you live, you live. I worship you and praise you. And God, can't you see my brother Jerry worshiping with me? Can't you see my brother Ward worshiping with me? Can't you see my brother Don worshiping with me? Can't you see my brother David worshiping with me? Can't you see my brother Dave worshiping with me? Can't you see my brother Jimmy worshiping with me? And I go on and on and on. Can't you see my brothers and my sisters worshiping with me? We're worshiping you because you're worthy of praise. We need to hear from you because you're a God of honor and a God of power. And so we ask you, Lord, pull yourself up a throne and sit down among us. Pull yourself up. Have a seat, Lord, and let us hear what you want us to do. And if it's hard work it'll be. If it's something simple, simple it will be. If it's something complicated, complicated it will be. We just need to hear from you, Lord. We need your voice. We need to hear from the prophet of God. And that prophet of God is Jesus Christ. And that prophet of God is the Holy Ghost. I had someone ask me a few years ago, do you believe in apostles? And I said, yep. Does your church have apostles? I said, yep. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Who are they? I said, Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Apostle James, Apostle John. Oh, well, I thought you actually had a real apostle. I said, what? Real? Amen? Do you have a prophet? Yeah, his name's Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, if the Jehovah's Witness, which is not true, I am a Jehovah's Witness, and so are you. They stole the title. But if Jehovah's Witnesses can call a magazine Awake and Tower a prophet, can't we call the Bible a prophet? Can't we call the voice of Jesus Christ a prophet? Amen? Can't we say that Jesus Christ is still a prophet among us? Amen? And so I want to say to everybody in this room, if I were going to ask the church to do it, as your pastor, if there's one really important request I want to make to you, whether you're here tonight or whether you're watching this on live stream, or whether you'll see this message at a later time, if you're part of our church, if you belong to Ozark Full Gospel Church, one of the things that I want to ask you as a pastor, because I do believe it's God's will, that we learn to worship together as one body in Christ. Worship and sing around the cross. Worship and sing, for Jesus made our valley full of ditches. Worship and sing and worship God and sing to Him. Sing to him. And we can do that as a group. And when we sing to him as a group, God inhabits the praises of Ozark Full Gospel Church. Amen. God pulls up a seat and sits down. That's what it means. Look it up yourself. It means many other things as well, but the very simplistic thing it means is God have a seat. Come and tarry with us. Be with us. And that's what makes church exceedingly wonderful. And that's why we hear from God. Amen? You say, well, what about Jehoram? I'm kind of like Elisha. I wouldn't even look at you. Disgusted with you. I love Jesus. He's the one I'm going to honor and adore. Isn't it interesting? The music wasn't in Psalm 22, but Jesus was going to say to the Lord, God inhabits the praises of his people. Jesus is going to say to his father, Jesus basically saying to his father there in Psalm 22, pull you up a seat. Get on your throne. Because from this place is going to be high praise. From this place is going to be worship. From this place is going to be high worship to the Lord. And that's why our songs is all about the cross. That's why our songs about the blood and about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, about worshiping God. Amen. I hear some songs sometimes, and I realize people are watching this by live stream. Don't get mad at me and quit. I'll give you other reasons to do that. But just let me say that. I'll give you plenty of opportunity. But I've got a problem with listening to a song, and I'm trying to figure out whether the guy's singing to his girlfriend or to the Lord. Hello? Same old song they sing in the barroom, they could sing in the church. Just change the word a little bit. I'm not talking about the beat of the music. I'm talking about just singing to the Lord like he's some boyfriend. Amen? Kind of like the country western singer said, I don't know, my girlfriend was stole by another man. Some guy by the name of Jesus. Well, I want you to know that young single men don't enjoy coming to church and listening to a bunch of singing about loving a man that they don't know, that they're not even saved yet. An unsaved man doesn't make a bit of sense to an unsaved man. Try and sing songs like it's some kind of physical romance. It's not a physical romance. It's a majestic deliverance to the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not the big guy upstairs. He's a majestic son of God. Amen? He's not my buddy. He could be, but he's not my buddy. My buddy isn't always what he ought to be. Jesus is higher than a buddy. Amen? I think the Lord's getting tired of that kind of concept. Lowering Jesus down, lowering God down to man instead of man being raised to the level of God. And we need to be raised up to the level of God's majestic power. Amen? Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. Well, you learned about four kings. Misha, the king of Moab. The sheep master. Jehoram, the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And then you have the king of Edom, which is nameless. Ahab and Jezebel has died. Jehoram is the son of Ahab. And I want you to know that I am a son of God. And if you're a Christian, you're a son of God. We don't, you know, we have higher standards. We love the Lord. And I want to join with Elisha. Bring me a song. Bring me worship. Have you ever seen that before in Psalm 22, that verse 3? It's like, pull up a seat, sit down, inhabit the praises of his. Isn't that cool? How many agree that is an awesome truth? And that's what Elisha was trying to point out. The truth is, we need to know that God inhabits the praises of his people. Altar's open. You come.